Liam Ritz, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
You are a brand new guest here, so we have a few get-to-know-you questions.
Ooh, okay, I'm ready.
Pizza or pasta?
Okay, that might take the whole interview. That's a tough one. You've started off the bat with a really tough question. I'm going to have to go with pasta, I think, but really it's between the two of them, it makes up about 80% of my diet, so
okay.
It's a tough call.
Yeah, I completely understand. Favorite non-classical, non-orchestral song, and why?
This is where I have to admit that outside of classical music, I don't listen to a ton of music. I think this might, I don't know if this is common with musicians, but when your 9-to-5 is being quite immersed in music and listening to it, by the time I'm done working for the day, I kind of just crave like comfort music. Like there'll be a lot of ABBA or like Streisand or Cher or something.
Oh, fun.
And as far as things that have come in the last 30 years, it's not as up to date. I just kind of want like the comfort food of music.
What's your favorite instrument in an orchestra?
I might have to go with bassoon. It's got a soft spot for me. I played bassoon through high school, not well, but loved it. And I have strong feelings that like every great orchestral work needs a small bassoon solo. That's like a must have for me.
What's your favorite area or location in Toronto?
I've been in kind of just outside the Junction, Wallace Emerson area for about the last decade. And I think especially when we were all kind of trapped in our own homes for a little while due to certain world events, it made me fall in love with the neighborhood even more because there's like, it was completely self-sustainable. Everything you needed, there were, you know, coffee shops and local restaurants and great parks. And so I feel like my home neighborhood there is really always my favorite place to be.
Nice. Tell us a bit about your musical background. How did you get involved?
So my mother is a musician, studied music and has worked as a school teacher for many years, not a music school teacher, but as kids, my older siblings and I, we all started studying instruments when we were, you know, I would think I was about 7 and my older siblings. So I started on the violin and played violin through university, and that was kind of my first introduction to music. But fairly early on, I started having an interest in writing music, and my mom was very encouraging of that and gave me a little notebook when I was a kid and taught me how to write things down, and I would write little songs. And I was fortunate to have teachers once I was getting into middle school and high school who were very encouraging of that and said, okay, well, you know, write something for the school band or for the string orchestra you're in, and we'll play it or read through it or give some feedback. And so I kind of caught that bug early on for, you know, how exciting it can be to write music and hear other people play it. And so it was fairly early on that I was interested in that. And so by the time I was going to University of Toronto to study music, I was already completely hooked on the whole composer side of things and was really focused on that.
So is that what you did your degree in?
Yeah, I did an Bachelor of Music with a major in composition.
Okay, wow. So I'm wondering, you know, in the 21st century, the sound world is kind of an anything goes landscape, you know, unlike, say, 150 years ago, where there was a very specific language and grammar when it came to writing music. So given that you can kind of do anything, how do you formulate your own compositional language?
That is a very good question. I think, for one, it's sometimes difficult to self-evaluate. And so other people will tell me there's things about my music that are very distinct. And then to me, it's harder to notice. I think one element, as you mentioned, there is sort of this anything goes postmodernist side of it where you can draw from so many different genres and styles and sound worlds and find ways of pulling it together. For me specifically, a lot of my music in the last few years has had a focus on sort of memory and place and how can you explore things that are familiar but reinterpreting them or putting them through sort of a more contemporary lens. And so a lot of my music will feature references or allusions to other music, whether it be other classical music or popular music or jazz or things like that. It may not be necessarily easy to pick out in the music, but it's part of kind of the fabric that the music's drawn from. And for me, when I'm writing, it gives me a starting place for, you know, what are the parameters I'm working within musically when I'm writing. You kind of have to set some boundaries for yourself because, you know, you can pull from anything. So you set these guidelines for yourself. So it's interesting. Like there's a lot of different avenues. I think from piece to piece, there's even variants in my own writing where it's, okay, what am I excited about right now? What am I focused on right now?
You are new this season, the TSO RBC affiliate composer. What is involved in this role?
So this is a 2-year role within the Toronto Symphony. On top of getting to write music for the orchestra, I wrote a piece for this season. I'll be writing another piece for next season. You also sort of get this behind-the-scenes look at what are the inner workings of an orchestra. So I'm involved in artistic planning. I get to see how the season's put together. How do we decide what programming choices are made? Guest composers and commissioning and things like that. I also am very fortunate to be involved in a lot of the education outreach work specific to new music projects. So we have a yearly reading session, our Explore the Score session, where 4 early career composers get to have their music read by the orchestra and they get feedback from the musicians and guest conductors and guest composers. And so that's one project I get to help facilitate. And then I also get to mentor 3 other composers as part of our Next Gen Composers project, where we commission 3 early career composers. And this season, they'll be having their works performed in, I believe, June, somewhere around in there. And we have Amy Brandon, Andrew James Clark, and Sunny Ray Day Rider as our Next Gens this year. So I kind of get to see various different elements within the orchestra, which is really helpful as a composer. It gets you out of just sitting at your piano and writing and seeing sort of how does the rest of the world operate in this field.
I imagine that is actually, in a practical sense, very helpful for you going forward.
Absolutely. This is, you know, all the stuff that we don't learn as students or in school is, okay, what does the actual job look like? There's so much more to what we do as musicians than either just play an instrument or just write music or conduct an orchestra. We're sort of required to be our own managers and social media people and grant writers and editors and everything else. And so there's all these practical skills that take a fair amount of time to develop but are so crucial to having and sustaining a career within the arts.
What's the importance specifically of the TSO's work in raising the profile of new music in Canada?
I think we're very fortunate here in Toronto that being one of the larger orchestras in Canada, we have resources where we're really able to invest and help develop new talent in composition, as well as making sure we're prioritizing and programming Canadian composers that we have known and loved for decades or in the last year. And so having sort of a multi-tiered approach to finding those new voices and providing opportunity and helping support them, but also continuing to program works and engage composers that we love in Canada.
So your first commission from the TSO is going to see its premiere very soon. Dance Scenes from the Living Room is what it's called. Tell us about this piece. I love the title.
Thank you. So at its core, this piece is really about the freedom and confidence of, you know, dancing like no one's watching. And so this title, Dance Scenes from the Living Room, is sort of this imagery of being kind of a child with that uninhibited joy dancing in your living room, you know, before you have the shame and self-consciousness of not wanting to dance in front of other people. And there's sort of an added layer to that that reflects on queer identity and sort of gender roles and gender norms in society, and that added layer of, okay, what's expected of maybe a young boy dancing in their living room? Should they be dancing to certain types of music? I kind of weave in these allusions and references to sort of old Hollywood pastiche and camp aesthetics as a reference to these ideas. But really at its core, it's about the joy and the freedom of that music and movement and how we can experience that.
What does it mean to you to have the TSO play your music?
Oh, it's, you know, like an absolute dream come true. As a composer who grew up in the GTA, this is the orchestra I've listened to for most of my life, and I've seen so many wonderful composers come through here, and you always have that little thought in the back of your head, like, okay, wouldn't it be great to one day write a piece and be able to hear these performers play it? And so, you know, to have that coming up, it's still kind of a pinch me moment.
Well, looking beyond this upcoming performance, and not to intrude on your creative process, because I know this can be a very private, delicate thing, but are there any particular ideas that are stirring about regarding compositions that you want to share?
Yeah, absolutely. So the TSO piece was just recently finished, and it was quite a large project. So I'm currently in just a small break between new pieces to let my, you know, creative juices recalibrate. But the next project I'm working on is a piece for 2 shows and accordion that's exploring kind of ideas of glacial drift.
Oh.
And it's kind of a fun instrumentation of the show is this traditional Japanese reed instrument and the accordion as well as a reeded instrument. It's an interesting sound, bro, a lot of sort of sonic possibilities with it. And then soon after that, I'm going to have to start thinking about next year's piece for the Toronto Symphony, which no concrete plans for that yet, but I'm starting to sort of jot down ideas and think about what I might be doing with that.
Well, we look forward to hearing that. And in the more immediate future, Toi 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 for the premiere of Dance Scenes from the Living Room.
Thank you so much.